Thank you for coming back tonight, or coming tonight, as the case may be. It's always good when brethren gather together to open the Word of God and to hear the Word of God proclaimed, and we're going to talk a little bit about that this evening. The title of the sermon, as listed in the bulletin, is Feeding on the Word of God. We've been doing a lot of feeding lately, haven't we? It seems like with the holidays, once Thanksgiving holidays get here, it's nonstop eating until the start of the new year. And that's usually when we start our New Year's resolutions, realizing the damage that we have done from before Thanksgiving to the end of the year. And most of us feed all through the year. But there are physical food that are required for our physical bodies. I don't know how some people get by when you see the things that they put into their bodies, and they say, well, I've been eating this way all my life and it's never hurt me. Eventually, it will probably catch up to them unless they're receiving in some other way the appropriate formulation of vitamins and minerals that the body is required in order for it to operate properly. But there's also spiritual food. That's what we want to talk about tonight. This spiritual food is that which is needful for our spiritual bodies, our spiritual being, that part of us that will live forever. We say, well, why do we need it now? We're in our physical bodies. But our spiritual existence, our spiritual man, the inner man, is within us. And therefore, it also needs to be nourished. And we understand physical nutrition requirements, but spiritually it's no different. We require nutrition, spiritual nutrition. And so we're going to feed on the Word of God. In our text, Acts chapter 18 and verse 11, we see that the Apostle Paul had continued a particular place for a particular period of time. And what is most important is not who he was, where he was, or the length of time that he was there, but what he was doing while he was there. Sometimes in looking at this, it says he continued there a year and 6 months. I wonder if that's where the idea that some churches get that a preacher ought not to be there very long. But what is important is what he was doing, teaching the Word of God among them. He was feeding them on the Word of God. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, we see, as the Spirit gave Peter the direction to write these things, tells us how we are to begin. You know, as we arrived here on the earth, we came without some of the tools that we need to get through life. I was talking to a man one time, and he was getting on up in years, and he said, you know, it's interesting how that we start life and end life the same way. And I says, well, how's that? And he says, no hair, no teeth when we start. No hair, no teeth when we end. And I said, okay. But there's something interesting about what he said, or what he meant. When we started out, we didn't have all the tools that we needed. And Peter brings that to our attention spiritually. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. When an infant comes to this earth, is not equipped to handle adult food. Now, it might feel good on their little gums to gnaw on a piece of steak or something like that, and they might receive a little bit of nutrient from it, but then their little digestive system is not developed to the point that they can take on that food. Spiritually, it's the same thing. When a person becomes a child of God, they can't take the meat of the Word. They can't digest it. You know, it's a shame to me that some who are Christians and have been for a number of years still can't take on the meat of the Word. Where do we start? Desire the sincere milk of the Word. Notice that he points out there that you may grow thereby. As we feed, we grow. It's never been so apparent to me the fact that we continue to grow. You know, there was a number of years that I could, if somebody were to have done so, I could have stood beside the wall and have a mark. But after a certain age, you can't stop you have to stop marking at the top of the head and start marking on either side of the body. We all continue to grow. But spiritually, we're to continue to grow also. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 32, we see words here that would help us, that would let us know spiritually this is how we are to grow. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace. Now, it's important for us to be commended to God and to the word of His grace, but notice what it is able to do, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. That word that God has given to us to feed us spiritually will build us up, and we all need encouragement. We all need to be built up. But it will also provide for us, if we read it, if we feed on that word, an inheritance among all them which are sanctified, those who are set apart. And what sets them apart is the fact that they are obedient and continue to be obedient and feed on the word of God. Now we know, according to Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, that not everybody who began feeding on the word continues therein and continues to grow. There in that particular passage, it was pointed out by the Hebrews writer, for when for the time you ought to be teachers, this ought to tell us that there's a growth process. We began, we are students. And at some point, we ought to become teachers, being able to guide other students. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Another fabulous thing about the word of God, it teaches us that we start our physical life as an infant, as a babe. But we start our spiritual life that way as well. We start our physical life being born into a family. We start our spiritual life being born into the family of God. And in both situations, we are to take on the proper food so that we might grow, so that we can help other ones. And it tells us in verse 14, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. There are those who are members of the body of Christ who have occupied a pew for a number of years, who cannot tell you where to find books in the Bible, who perhaps cannot even quote any passages other than passages such as Jesus wept. And why is that? It's a failure to grow. So what do? In order to feed on the Word of God, a number of things must be done. We come together to hear the Word of God. I cannot tell you how many times that people have remarked to me about something that they claim is in the Bible. They start out their conversation with, "My preacher said." When we come together, we do not come together to hear what the preacher has to say. I was recently approached by someone that says, "I would like to get your opinion on something." And I says, "Okay, what is it?" "Well, it's a Bible subject." And I said, "Well, then I have no opinion." "Well, what do you mean?" "What I mean is whether I have an opinion or not does not matter. Because what the Word of God is what is to be taught, what is to be proclaimed, what is to be followed." Now, if you want my opinion as to what type of car to drive, I'll gladly give you that. But when it comes to the Word of God, my opinion does not come into play. But when we come together, we do not come together to hear the opinion of the preacher. We come together to hear the Word. Acts chapter 20 and verse 7 tells us this. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread. Now they did. They came together to break bread. They came together to commune around the table to remember the death of our Lord and Savior on Calvary's cross. And what a privilege that Christians have in being able to do this. But that's not the only reason we're to come together. Notice, as we continue reading this particular passage, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow. Paul was leaving. And because Paul was leaving, he had much to say to them, much instruction to give to them, much food, if you will, from the Word of God being given to him by the Spirit. And so he preached to them until midnight. That is not an authorization for a preacher to go that long. But when they came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them. He proclaimed unto them the Word of God so that they might be fed spiritually. In Acts chapter 13, verse 44, we see another passage that shows us that people came together to hear the Word of God. And what a wonderful situation if it would be like this today. Can you imagine what it would be like for the whole city of Mooresville to come together to hear the Word of God? Listen, you have some rock star or some pop star or something like that come and rent whatever facility is available in Mooresville, and you'll be turning people away. But you can't get them together to hear the Word of God. What an opportunity was here. The next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the Word of God. No, we don't gather on the Sabbath today. But they gathered together for the purpose, the express purpose, to hear the Word of God. We know also, in accordance to Acts chapter 15 and verse 7, that Peter had the privilege of being the one to take originally and initially the gospel to the Gentiles. In fact, because there was so much disputing about it, he rose up and he gave them the account and told them this as he was directed by the Spirit. When there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, "Men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of gospel of the gospel and believe." He gathered together with those people. And if you remember, you go back to Acts chapter 10 and you read that account, you'll find out it was not just Cornelius and Mrs. Cornelius. It was the whole family gathered together. I suspect because Cornelius was a devout man, because he loved God, because he had seen this vision, that he gathered everybody into that structure that he could so they could hear the Word of God. You know what they were after? Spiritual food. In Luke chapter 11 and verse 28, we'll see that Jesus had comments about those who would hear the Word of God. But he said, when he said, "Blessed are they," or "happy are they that hear the Word of God," he added some additional words to the end of that. "And keep it." It's not just enough to hear the Word of God. We've got to obey it. We've got to do it. Now, when we come together to hear the Word of God, we ought to be here to listen to the Word of God. Nothing is more distracting than someone rabbit hunting during the middle of a sermon. What do I mean by that? Oh, the preacher will say something. There'll be a phrase. They look up that phrase in the Bible. There's a scripture reference in their Bible, and they flip over to that page, and they flip back to this page, and they find themselves wandering about, nibbling, if you will, the Word of God here and there. We've got to listen, and then we will do something else, and we'll talk about what else we do after we listen. In Acts chapter 13, verses 6 and 7, we see that there were some people. Not all people desired to hear the Word of God. We see that same thing today. But in Acts 13, 6 and 7, we'll see when they had gone through the island of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus. Now, Sergius Paulus, we're told, is a prudent man. Notice what he did. Who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the Word of God. He wanted to listen to the Word of God. You know, he had perhaps the idea that something could be said that could be beneficial to him, and how right he was. Because no doubt, Paul and Barnabas preached the Word of God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, we see that the brethren there are being commended, and they are expressing their gratitude and their thanks, because when the Word of God was preached to them, they listened to it. They received it. They desired to hear it. For this cause also, we thank God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Now, we need to trust those who are in the pulpits, but we do not need to trust them blindly. There's an old saying that one of my supervisors used to impress upon us all the time. He would say, you got to trust your men, but you got to verify. Trust and verify. In other words, check it out. While we must trust, we must be like those Thessalonian brethren. We must receive the word which is heard as the word of God. But we're also to examine what is being taught. One of the most famous passages relative to that are those that were more noble than the Thessalonians. This is found in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. These were those that even though they received the word gladly, even though they wanted to hear the word of God, they came together, they listened to the word of God, but then they examined what was taught. Now, we know about them because it is said what they did. Notice also the what is said in there, when they did what they did. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily. They didn't question what the preacher was preaching immediately and search the scriptures while the preacher was preaching. They no doubt read along with him. Oh, it's a great sound when you call out a scripture and you hear pages flipping. Because you know people are looking to the Word of God. And they're reading along with you. And I notice sometimes that people's lips are moving. They're reading the phrases. That means they're connected. They're listening to the Word of God because they came here to hear the Word of God. And they are examining what is taught. I've actually had some of the folks that are right here in this room tonight say to me, I think you messed up on such and such a verse. And I do. I have. I've called out the wrong verse. And I appreciate folks examining what is taught. Sometimes you get your tongue wrapped around your eye tooth and you can't see what you're saying. And you come out with something and you go like, where did that come from? But these folks examined what was being taught. But notice they did it daily. Which tells us that they opened the Word of God each and every day. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21, we're told what they were expected to do when they opened the Word of God. Notice he said, prove all things. How do you prove something? You go to the source. You find the evidence. Remember me telling you that people have said to me over the years, my Bible says something, this and that. One of the ones that come into my mind, one that people will invariably use, they'll say, you know, the Bible teaches that cleanliness is next to godliness. You can't find that passage. It's not there. And what do I do when people bring that up and say, the Bible says that cleanliness is next to godliness? Friend, search the scriptures. Find it for me. I can't find it. Prove all things. Now, it teaches the concept. There's nothing wrong with being clean, but it's not important for us to always remain clean. I used to work in a job in construction, and yes, I would get very dirty. But that didn't mean I was ungodly. Prove all things. And then once you prove them, hold fast. Hang on to that truth. Embrace it. Live it. In 1 John chapter 4, in verse 1, again, we see another passage that tells us that not everything that is being said, and even sad as it may sound, not everything that is put forth in a pulpit is something that you can take to eternity. It's a shame, I know. But we have instruction relative to the Word of God so that we might feed on that Word of God and we might handle it aright. We are told there, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Remember earlier, we read about Acts chapter 13, verses 6 and 7, and it specifically pointed out that this person was a false prophet. There are false prophets in the world today, and that's what 1 John tells us, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Just because a person has been to school for a number of years and has doctor in front of his name or several different initials behind his name, it means nothing unless what he says aligns with God's Word. As we gather together to hear the Word, as we listen to the Word of God, as we examine what the Word says, I want to submit to you this evening that it's absolutely worth nothing unless we apply it to our lives. You can hear the Word of God from the time you're 5 to the time you're 50. And if you don't apply it, it will not help you. It's a very sad situation. But the Bible teaches it over and over again. In James chapter 1, beginning in verse 22, we'll see this. We know that this particular passage talks about the Word because it calls it out. But he said, "But be ye doers of the Word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Those that hear the Word and do not apply it to their lives, whether they come together to hear the Word and they listen to the Word of God and they examine what is being taught, if they do not apply it to their lives, they're deceiving themselves. And guess who we deceive most easily? Ourselves. "For if any be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Do you want to be blessed in your deed? In the life that you live? Your existence here on this earth that God has granted to you? Then we need to do the Word. We need to apply the Word of God to our lives. It's interesting to me in Luke chapter 4, as our Lord was being tempted by Satan, he answered him in such a way that is no way that you can misunderstand it unless you've had help to do so. Luke 4 and verse 4, Jesus said, "It is written." Now, let me stop right there. He said, "It is written," several times. But this specific time, he told what was written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And we need to understand that he was talking about a spiritual existence. You've got to have physical nourishment, or you will eventually die. But if you want to live forever, what do you live by? Spiritual food, feeding on the Word of God. In verse 13, we'll see the end result of this. After Jesus Christ was tempted on these three occasions, and when the devil had ended the temptation, he departed him for a season. You want the devil to leave you alone? Feed on the Word of God. Be able to give the devil an answer, such as Jesus did. When these temptations face us, if we're able to say, "It is written," I guarantee you we will not succumb to as many temptations as we once did. We need to also be aware that the preachers, the elders, the teachers, each individual is to teach the Word. It's specific to the elders, the preacher, and the teachers. We have passages which tell us that they are to teach the Word so that others can feed upon it. You know, there's a truth that exists, and sadly it exists in the church, that some people will just not put forth the effort necessary to know the Word of God. They have to have teachers. They have to have preachers. They have to have elders or someone to guide them. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 2, we have instructions so that these elders will do what they're supposed to do. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. These elders are to feed the flock. For them to be able to feed the flock, they have to know the Word. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, we find that this written to this young preacher, Timothy. He was supposed to feed people with the Word of God. Preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. You know, sometimes it's not always comfortable to preach the Word. Sometimes it's not always convenient to preach the cold, hard truth of the gospel. But that's what he was telling Timothy there, as the Spirit directed him to do so. Be instant in season, out of season, when it's convenient, when it's not convenient. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. That doctrine is found in the pages of inspiration and is given to us so that we might feed on that Word of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 and 26, we're seeing that the servant of the Lord is directed to use the Word of God. Each one that has put on Christ in baptism becomes a servant of the Lord. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach. It's not just the elders. It's not just the preacher. It's not just the teacher that is supposed to be able to handle aright the Word of God. It is every Christian should be able to feed someone with the Word of God. They're to be patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, how are they going to know what to repent of if they're not taught? Again, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, we see these things being written to Timothy, reminding him and recorded for us so that we too could grow thereby. And the things that thou hast heard among me, or heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. And we can see that that was going on in Acts chapter 5, verse 42. We see these disciples of the Lord. We see these servants of God. Daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. You see the same thing in Acts chapter 15 and verse 35. Many other passages that we have throughout the Bible where Paul and Barnabas continued teaching and preaching the Word of God. And notice it says there, with many others also. What were they doing? They were giving people the opportunity to feed on the Word of God. Well, why? Because it's the engrafted Word. Because it's the engrafted Word which was able to save a soul. That's why we feed upon it. That's why we take our spiritual nourishment from it. So that we might know what to do to be saved. So that we might know what to do to teach others to be saved. What must a person be able to do in order to be saved? Hear the Word of God, Romans 10, 14. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Hebrews 11, 6, and other passages. Repent. We see in Acts chapter 26 and verse 20 that Saul, after his conversion, showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance, confessing before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Oh, what a wonderful situation when Jesus saith unto his disciples, "But whom say ye that I am?" And they answered, specifically Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Of course, we understand that once a person hears, believes, repents, and has confessed, that they are to be baptized into Christ. And salvation does not exist unless this is applied. "The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." You know, after Saul was converted, spent the rest of his life living faithfully before God, he could lay claim to something that we all should strive to do. We're not going to be able to do it unless we feed on the Word of God. We find this claim of the Apostle Paul, by the way, given to him by the Spirit to write to Timothy. He said in 2 Timothy 4:6-8, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." You know, those that love his appearing will be those who are obedient. They will be those who remain faithful unto death. They will be those who, though they sin, they will return to God through repentance and prayer. Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. Upon what are you feeding? Is it the Word of God? If so, have you come to an understanding of what you need to do to be saved? If you're already a child of God, have you been faithful? If not, we're going to give you the opportunity, if you're not a child of God, to become one this evening. If you are a child of God and for whatever reason have been unfaithful, we're going to give you the opportunity to come in repentance and prayer. And then we beg of you all to continue to feed on the Word of God. If you need to respond, come as together we stand and sing.